All right, so tonight we're talking. I was preparing a little sermon together, Faith Over Fear. That's what we're talking about tonight. Tonight is, I don't know if it's going to be a little different, but I'm definitely going to take the Mark approach, my brother Mark, so I'll be walking around here. But I definitely want to get us as a community more engaged in this sermon slash Bible study, just more of y'all perspective. And there's no right or wrong answer. If I ask you how you feel about a scripture, you can always say pass. But I'll be calling on different people and asking y'all to participate. You, like I said, if I call on you, Mitch, if you want to pass, just say pass. I'll call Alejandro to read scripture out the word. But that's why the Bibles are probably close to everybody here. So heads up. But faith over fear. So my sermon, I wrote a little bit of, this is actually like my first sermon trying to prepare for, so I didn't do like a brilliant job, but I got some notes. But it says, first of all, I want us to all bow our heads. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Father, to be in your house, Father. Thank you for Pastor Gonz and Lee and the rest of the group, Father, and for allowing us to be here and open up faith-based mentoring, Father. I pray that you work in me, Father, tonight. Speak through me, Father. May your words be said tonight here to everybody here, Father, and nothing of my own, Father. I'd rather have one word from you than 10,000 from me, my Lord. And just continue to guide us all, direct our path, Father. You know what everybody's going through here, Father. You know the fears and the worry and doubt that every man and woman are going through here this week, Father, and this whole year, Father. And today, Father, may encourage them with faith, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off with a somewhat like a parable I heard. I listened to a lot of motivational videos, so. Like I said, the sermon's faith and fear. So the military gave two gentlemen in about 1900s an opportunity to be executed or have an opportunity to go to a door. So they were asking what's on the other side of the door. And they said the unknown terror is on the other side of this door. So it was their option to choose. And most of them, if not all of them, they said chose execution. But they were terrified of fear, what was going to go on beyond that un door, because they said, you know, you have the opportunity, go ahead. And so the other man, one man asked, he was like, what's on the other side of the door after everybody got executed? And he said, freedom. So that was a very powerful when I heard that, you know, because a lot of us tend to be stagnant and don't want to move in life because of fear or worry or doubt. It kind of makes you be at hold, but God says in his word, he didn't give us, none of us, a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So a lot of that we're going to go over tonight with scriptures, and I'm going to start with one. If y'all could follow me, 1 Samuel, if anybody don't know, I could try to help y'all get there to your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 17, that's the Old Testament. In the front of your Bibles, it'll have like an index. The first couple pages to kind of show you where the book is located. 1 Samuel 17, chapter 17, verse 41. What page is it? 228. We're going to start at verse 41. You want to start us off, Mitch?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him.
Keep going? Yeah, keep going.
He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals."
All right, that's good. So this story right here, the Philistine was Goliath. So David came out to meet Goliath. And in verse 44, he says to David, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Then he said, "Come here," and he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animal." So he's making a threat and trying to put fear in David. Like, you're just a young boy. Who are you coming to me? And Goliath was over 9 feet tall, so just by his appearance, he was already scaring people. So even with his words, he was very intimidating. We're going to start in verse 45. Dallas, you want to read? Verse 45.
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies, Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel."
Amen. That's good. Luna, what do you feel about that scripture, or what is your perspective on that when David, you know, said that you come against me with the sword and all this and javelin, and I come to you in the Lord Almighty and so on?
He was trusting in God. The other one was trusting himself. And he was saying that you coming to me in battle with these sticks, stones, whatever, but he's coming to me and led by the Holy Spirit. So he's coming and trusting in God in whatever situation, whatever we may be going through, just like our everyday life, you know what I mean? We got to trust in God and know that he's comforting us and he's going to be there for us. So whatever trials or whatever situation that we may be going through, you know, we have to trust in God and know that we're coming to him and being led by him. That's how I feel about it.
Amen, amen, amen. So you see here what King David, as a young man, he already been through some battles before, so he already had his faith, you know, increasing. So he said, at one time, he said, this giant's no different. You know, I took out a lion and bears and stuff like that, and God has been with me, and he'll still continue to be with me. So that's at times in our life when fear comes, you know, of unknown, like I shared earlier, the unknown door. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with my finances. I don't know what's going to happen with my family, my children. That's true. We might not know what happened, but we definitely got to trust in God. That's where we trust in God. He says, acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll direct your path. So one thing that helps me out a lot is scripture. You have to fill your mind with scripture to overcome that fear. Because if you don't, to me, the only way to overcome is with the word of God. And if you don't have that ready in your mind, within 5 seconds, they say, you'll come out with 10,000 reasons to back up that doubt and fear. And that could stay with you throughout the whole day. I'm not going to be with my family this Christmas. If you keep that in the forefront of your mind, it'll continue to eat at you. And then you'll start making moves and from what you're thinking. You'll start reacting out of that. And it'll show in your demeanor and your thoughts and your attitude off of that negativity that you put in front of you. So what helps me out is the Word of God. And that's what we're going to speak on tonight, the Word of God, and to encourage us and to lift us up. I believe, let's go to Psalms, I didn't write it down, but let's, Psalms 27. Verses 1 through 3, one of my favorites right here. I memorized this verse and it helps me out throughout life plenty of times. Steve, would you like to read?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me and devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then I will be confident.
Awesome. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Those two are like my number two ones to go to. Those two scriptures. These scriptures tonight, you know, we can always go on the website and hear them. But after service, I could help you highlight them if you would like. Take pictures or just these are very powerful scriptures that I feel like you could use to overcome any kind of life's battles. To always repeat that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What should I fear? Nothing. The Lord is with us. If he's for us, nobody could be against us. But we have to truly continue to meditate on these words and continue to coach yourself and remind yourself that you are with me. You are with me. You are with me. You are my light. You're my salvation. You are the strength of my life. I can't do nothing without you. Apart from him, we could do nothing, he says. So you got to keep on relying on him. You're the strength of my life. I will overcome. Even though I don't know what the future may hold next week, might have court, kids, whatnot. I don't know what the unknown may bring, but I put my trust in you and your, in relying in on his strength. It said, whom shall I be afraid? There's another scripture that talks about that you should be afraid of. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. So not even sudden terror, nothing. He don't want us to be afraid of anything. He says, when the wicked came up to eat my flesh and my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war may rise up against me, in this I'll be confident. That's very bold. When war and trouble comes upon your life, he said, in this I'll be confident. And not confident in himself, but confident in God. We're going to go to Job chapter 39. If somebody has a page number, let me know. 428.
I also had just want to share an illustration that had helped me for it to be in the light. So if we have a light that's placed over there in that area, in that back corner, that light isn't going to help us when we're standing over here in the dark. We have to put that light before and place it right in front of us. And it doesn't matter how dark it gets, as long as we continue to have his word and allow his light to shine, every step we take is leading us in the right path. But if we don't have that light before us, what is going to happen? We can run into anything. We don't know where the door at or whatnot. So it's good just to place that light right in front of you and use your scriptures daily to continue to move forward. And that was something that I was learning down the way, to take that light and allow it to move forward each and every day with me.
Amen, amen. There's some scripture that probably go right along with. He says, your word is a light unto my path. And also, there's another scripture that says, he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going or makes him stumble. So that definitely goes right along with what he's saying about that light. The light is a light unto my path. And it also a scripture before that where it says, he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going or what makes him stumble. And Proverbs 4, I think that's 19, but 4:18 says, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto that perfect day. That's a beautiful scripture. So it tells you your journey and your path as someone that's walking with God, the just, the righteous. Your path will continue to get brighter and brighter as like the shining sun he relays it to, that continue to get brighter and brighter as long as you keep on that path and that right journey, not looking to the right or to your left. To doubt, to worry, to fear, just keeping your focus on God and your path, running your own race, your own course, you and God. Job 39. Everybody there? A couple people? Would you like to read, Kat? Job 39. We're going to go from is it verse 20 to 25. Uh-huh. Amen. Another very powerful scripture. One of my favorites here. So it said, do you give the horses strength or close his neck with flowing mane? So God's give to me, he's this is like a metaphor of us or King David when he's facing Goliath. It says that this horse, you know, horses are very strong, powerful animals. It says he paws fiercely, rejoicing in his strength and charges into the battle. Like he knows who he is and who's within him. And he charges forward like David. He ran towards Goliath. He ran up to the fight. He didn't run away from the fight. There's another parable that says good soldiers run to the battle, not from it. I believe that's what God wants us to do at all times. You know, he did not give us just a shield, you know, to back up. He actually gave us a sword, and the sword is the word of God, and he wants us to fight. So this scripture is really encouraging to me because it like God's telling us to be like this horse, proud in your God and confident in your God and who he is, that he's all powerful and he runs into the battle. Jesus, at many occasions throughout his whole ministry, he ran to the sick. He ran to those possessed, all that. He didn't walk away. He didn't. You hear something over here and go this way. He always charged forward. And the horse here, it says he laughs at fear. That's very powerful. He said the horse is afraid of nothing. Does not shy away, not even from the sword. He sees the sword. He sees all that. He's not afraid. He said he laughs at fear, mocks at fear. He said the quiver rattles against his side along with the flashing spear. And frenzy, excitement, he eats up the ground. So he's so passionate, he's just charging. That's he knows who he is. He's very confident, that much confident that he's going full head of steam. He cannot stand still when the trumpet blew, it's go time. Same thing with King David. Go time. There's no hesitation. Who is this guy that defiles the armies of God? You know, he's bold. They said the righteous are bold as a lion, same as this horse. At the blast of the trumpet, he snorts and says, ha, and catches the scent of battle from afar, the shout of commanders and battle cry. One thing about us as humans, we tend to be emotional beings. And there's nothing wrong with having emotions, being angry or frustrated or even fearful or afraid. But also God gave us, like I said, the spirit of power. So with that, we should have courage to move forward, or like the horse or David or any man or any woman, keep moving forward. It says in the scripture, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So that scripture is a reminder that you could be mad. You could be angry. So, but don't react. Don't react off of your emotions, is what he's saying. Same thing like with fear. You know, you could feel the fear or be afraid, but don't move out of fear. Don't dictate and make moves out of fear, but make moves in trusting in God. All right, we're going to go to Acts 21, verse 13. What page is that? 903. Acts 21:13. So just a little bit before that, there's I don't know if it's in the 10, 11, or 12, but basically some prophet comes up to I don't know if Paul was there, but his disciples. And he had like a belt or something. And he said, whoever is the owner of this belt, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to prophesy what's going to happen to you. He said, this man's going to be like bound up, you know, when he goes to Jerusalem, and just bad things are going to happen to this man. So the disciples heard that, and they ran up to Paul, and they start telling Paul, don't go. This thing is true. This is what's going to happen to you if you go. They're full of fear. They're full of fear and afraid for Paul, and probably for themselves, for their own lives. Oscar, you want to read Acts 21, verse 13?
Yeah. Then Paul answered, why are you whipping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die for in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Yep. That's so beautiful. This is another scripture I keep to heart about not even fearing death. So Paul's mindset was on things above and not things here on this earth. He knew where he was going. Full confidence. So I'll just repeat that. He said, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? He said, I am not ready only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of Jesus. That's so beautiful. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't even afraid of death. But it shows you the difference between people with fear and people with faith. And do not go off your emotions. The people with fear, his disciples, if it was their decision, they wouldn't have went. That's it, because, hey, this guy prophesies what's going to happen to us. We're not going to go. We're not going to go. But Paul is kingdom-minded and not even worried about his own life. There's a scripture that also says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's no longer me, no longer Jose, Lalo, it's Christ. It's Christ who lives. So that's our mindset should be. Christ-minded, and that's how Paul's mindset was. So that's what we got to build our faith up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For people to hear that are not kingdom-minded, they're not going to understand that. Paul's mind was so in tune with the Spirit that to die is for me to win. And another part in some scriptures, he was like, I'm having trouble within myself to stay here with you guys and encourage y'all, or to depart, because I know to depart and be in the presence of God and Jesus is far way better than to be here. But for your sake, I'll stay to build you guys up. So that is very encouraging to hear these stories of our brothers and sisters in the past, that helps me build my faith up, that they went through it. So there's nothing new under the sun. If there's anything happening in our lives, you know, that haven't happened before. Many people lost children. Many people died, got murdered. All this stuff is real and so true to me when I read the Bible. It's like you might as well put it on yesterday's news or last week's news. My brother, most of my brothers got murdered. Paul, all of them. I believe only one didn't, but most of them got murdered. My other brother, I always call these men my brothers because it's so real to me. Jesus' cousin, he actually got his head chopped off. And in other scriptures, they talk about many that were cut in two. This is the reality. And this stuff still happens probably, I'm sure, to this day in different countries, you know, Christians being persecuted. So we definitely are very fortunate just to be here in America. But while we're here, we definitely need to encourage and lift up and build up our faith, that we may be strong and kingdom minded and not worried about or fearing that we should lose our own lives.
Amen.
So I want to share another scripture. Well, I'm just going to back in with Adam and Eve. The devil came to Eve and was like basically saying, surely you should not die if you eat of that fruit. You know, God don't want you to know knowledge of good and evil. But once she believed it, so that's another thing. Whose words are you listening to? Your own words, your own doubt or fear, or God's words? In my notes, I put, if I could find it. But basically, once she believed those words, like maybe you're right, she empowered them and gave life to those words. The devil don't have, his words don't have no power, but we could give them power, or even yourself. You could give and bring life to them if you start to believe them over God's word. But I have a scripture in Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Luke 10.
I have given your authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Yep. So this is another powerful scripture that Jesus said, behold, I give you the authority to trample over scorpions, serpents, and over all the power of the enemy. To me, the power of the enemy is one of his number ones is doubt, fear, and worry upon your mind. So once he creates that, he knows he's already starting to gain the victory. And once we empower that, then he is one. Once we move on that and be afraid and you're not listening to the Spirit of God, that you're going to back away. Paul, don't go. You're going to shy away, be timid. But Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample over scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. I've given you authority to over his power and doubt and fear and worry. But we have to walk in it. You got to know who you are and know the authority that Jesus gave you and truly believe in it. Without belief, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's not going to happen if you don't believe in it. That's a very powerful scripture. Go ahead, Mark.
Just to interject a little bit, he goes on to say in that scripture, he said, be thankful that your name is written in the book of life. And here's one thing that if you have no fear, you know your name is written there, that gives you that much more authority. That gives you that much more power. So know that your name is written in the book of life. Embrace that. That's power. And the enemy hates you. The enemy is going to continue to hate you until you leave this earth. But only because he's an enemy of God. He's not our enemy, really. Our flesh is our own enemy.
Amen.
But we have power over Satan.
Amen. 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 We're going to speak a little bit more on faith. So I was telling you a little bit of stories on fear and whatnot. We're going to speak a little bit on faith. Now, faith in Hebrews 11:1, you guys don't have to go to it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's your perspective on that, Pam? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
I was hoping my phone bill would get paid, but I could not see the money. So I had faith that God was going to pay it for me.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else would like to share anything on faith that Mitch?
See oxygen, but we're living. That's evidence that the oxygen is there, even though we can't see it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else would like to share anything on faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things not able to be seen. What does that mean to you? Anybody like to share anything more on faith?
I can share something as far as my testimony, the faith that I had once I came into Christ and believing that He can change me. I didn't think or see myself being who I am today, but through the Word of God, I see myself becoming more like Christ, and I had faith once I started reading the Word that I could be more forgiving, more loving, more caring. I had that faith in God that I can become a new man in Christ Jesus. I didn't see it, but I believed it, and now I'm more able each and every day to practice out what I have learned, because now it's no longer me, it's Him.
Amen.
So that's from faith, from having faith that I could be new in Christ Jesus. Just as we sit around today, we got different individuals that we grew up with, that we sold drugs with and ran the streets with, but through the faith that we had, we seen that Christ can change each and every one of us to become a different person. And that's now we're starting to see that. We're starting to see that by faith. But at first, you didn't see it, because we was all selling drugs together. We was all running the streets together. So we never thought we'd sit in a Bible study and talk about God and talk about change. But in prison, when I was in that dark time, I had the faith and seen it. And now it's coming into life.
Amen, amen. What does faith mean to you, Marvin?
There's a lot of things that we can't see, but it's real. And some of it God gives us, and then some of it grows as we have experience and as we talk and work with other people. But it's, to me, it's seeing and believing the things that are talked about in the Bible that I haven't experienced or seen, but I can still look forward to them and interact with them.
Amen. What is faith? What does faith mean to you? Now, faith is something that things hope for.
Yeah, and it goes on. By faith, I understand the world prepared by the Word of God. I look at it more like a different kind of faith in the New Testament. There was the centurion that said, you don't have to lay hands on my kid. And Jesus was like, man, I ain't seen faith like all these people, all my people, and you're from Rome. And it did it. But in that same instance, there was other faith that people were like, hey, can you lay hands on my daughter? She's dying. And he went with that faith. You look with the woman that touched his cloak, and in her mind she said, if I just touch his cloak. Right before that, there was a guy, I think, or a woman that went and said, my daughter's sick and dying. So there's a different corner to faith, but the Word of God is just like instructions, you know what I'm saying? Like obeying that and nothing but that. Just like Jesus, when he got tempted in the wilderness, as it written, you know?
It's written.
And walked, not just said it, but walked in it.
Amen, amen. Just to feed off a little bit of what my brother right here said, it's a very powerful story. There was like a general, and he sent one of his soldiers to Jesus and said, you know, one of my fellow men are sick. So Jesus was coming to him, and he went out. And I don't know if he went out or his one of his soldiers went out and said, I'm also a man of authority. And if I tell one of my soldiers to do something, it's going to be done. That's it. So I my faith in you is I know you're a man of authority, too. If you just say it, if you just speak it, I know it'll be done. And that's where he said, I haven't seen faith like this. You know, he believed in that authority that even Jesus is so powerful. He just said, you don't even have to come to my house. And he met him right there. Just speak it. And I know it'll be done, because I'm a man of authority as well. And I know, understand how powerful words are. If I tell somebody to go do something, I expect it's going to be done. No questions asked. You have something to share, Mitch?
Or a little exercise. Do you have faith in me that I'm not a liar?
Do I have faith in you?
Do you feel like I'm not a liar?
I would expect you not to lie here in church.
Yeah. How many fingers do I have?
You have three.
Now close your eyes. I added one finger. How many fingers do I have up?
You added one finger? Four?
Okay, I took it away again. How many?
Three?
Okay, I added two this time.
Five? You're losing me, but...
You had faith, that, and you were right each time, but you couldn't see.
Amen. 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 That trust. Amen. I like that example. I like that. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures. So it says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans 10:17. So in here, that's what we encourage y'all to do, or in church. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So we continue to build ourselves up and listen to stories about faith, and that should increase our faith. Another in Psalms 119, how can a young man cleanse his ways? Anybody having troubles in their directions in life or feel like they're not heading down the right way? How can a young man cleanse his ways is a question. The answer is in Psalms 119, by taking heed according to your word. Taking counsel to his word. So he's giving you the answer to cleanse your ways is taking heed to his word. How then shall they call, in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How should they believe in him of whom they never heard? How should they hear without a preacher? Another scripture says, I'm running through these a little fast. We're a little pressed on time, not too much, but for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Somebody, we're going to go to Luke 4:18. Page 834. Somebody want to read it? Justin? Oscar? Luke 4:18.
Jesus was full of the Spirit and left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days.
Is that Luke 14? I might have it wrong.
I got four.
Okay, Luke chapter 4.
Is it 4?
And then 18, I believe. There you go.
There's Luke chapter 4, what?
Verse 18. Amen. Yep. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Jesus speaking. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the way to create new direction in anybody's life. If you want old things to be passed away, all things to become new, to be in Christ. If anyone is in Christ. And we're going to finish with Romans 10 to 8, maybe. I'm looking for it here in my notes. Marvin or Pam, would you like to read it? Is it 10? Romans 10:9, is it, or 8? Chapter 8, maybe go through 13, I believe.
Pick a number, any number.
Romans 10:8. I lost it in my notes.
Chapter 8.
No. Romans 10?
And 8.
Verse 8. I'm gonna take a leap of faith, and hopefully that's it.
But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message
to verse 13. Please.
If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen, amen. So this is a way for new direction in anybody's life for 2021. If anybody's never given their life to God, this is definitely a good format that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord is Jesus and you want him to be Lord over your life, but not just that, but to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. So you believe in it with your heart, and then you're speaking it. You're following your actions. But I don't know how many people has given their lives to God here. Anybody made commitments before or never had made a commitment. But today we're going to say a prayer for anybody who would like to commit their lives to God. Today is an opportunity. We'll be coming back again, like I said, in 2 weeks. But today's always a day for salvation for somebody.